listening to Encouraging Words to Give You Hope. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you with the words of hope God gives us in His Word. I'm your host, Hope Ann, the author and founder of Meditate Hope. Join me each week as we discuss several different topics, dive into God's Word together, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. So sit back, grab your Bible, and take some notes as we meditate on the encouragement God gives us in His Word. Are you ready? Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode. It's Hope here, and today we are starting a brand new series, a two-part series. But before we get into it, just want to remind you to subscribe, rate, and review if you haven't already so that you don't miss out on any future episodes and also help more people find the show. So today, as I said, we're starting a brand new series called The Journey to the Cross as we dive into the true meaning of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter while also seeing the character of Jesus through it all. So as Palm Sunday is coming up this Sunday, we'll be asking ourselves this question. What is the meaning behind Palm Sunday? We will discuss a bit of a background of Jesus' life and ministry leading up to this point, Jesus entering into Jerusalem, His Last Supper with His disciples, and we'll also end with a little recap of this week, what to expect, a little peek into next week's episode, and also some reflection questions to think about. Even if you already heard the story of Palm Sunday so many times, there's so much we can reflect upon from this passage. So let's get into the episode. So first up, let's recap a bit of Jesus' life so far leading up to the point of Palm Sunday. So as we know, Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And for more on this, if you want to dig deeper into the true meaning of Christmas and the birth of Jesus, you can look at the blog post that will be linked in today's show notes. And also, if you look back on a previous episode published back in December, you can find more information in the true meaning of Christmas in that episode. But continuing on, Jesus lived as an ordinary human. He had to learn to walk, how to talk, he had responsibilities, worked with his earthly father Joseph as a carpenter, and needed to respect and obey his parents and get along with his siblings. Many of the things we go through, Jesus also went through, such as human emotions. Jesus felt sorrow and grief from losing a loved one, as we see in John 11, verse 35, he became physically tired and even got hungry when fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, as we see in Matthew 4. He faced all these things while on earth, while being both 100% man and 100% God. Jesus had different activities we do as humans too. He worked, slept, learned, prayed, and often during his ministry, we see that he still took the time to withdraw from the crowd and pray, even as the Son of God. When Jesus was around 30 years old, he started his earthly ministry, which he would do for about 3 years until the age of 33. During this time, Jesus chose his 12 disciples, taught them, preached to crowds upon crowds of people, healed the lame, made the blind see again, and raised the dead back to life. Throughout Jesus' life, he set up an example for us to follow that we might follow in his steps. He is the ultimate example for us to follow as his disciples. As Peter writes when talking about living a godly life in 1 Peter 2 verse 21, he says, "To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Jesus showed compassion to those others looked down upon, loved those who were hard to love, stayed committed to the truth of God's word, and stayed humble even though he had all authority in the world as the creator of the world to do whatever he wanted to do. In all these attributes Jesus had, we see them shine through even amidst his betrayal and crucifixion. As we go through the story of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter in these coming days and weeks, even if you've heard it dozens of times, I want you to ask yourself, how do I see Jesus' character even amid the hurt and betrayal he went through? As we go through the story of Palm Sunday and Easter, we also find that every prophecy of Jesus' death and resurrection we find in Scripture was fulfilled. So as we head into the story of Palm Sunday and Easter, may we have open hearts to what God has to say and be ready for whatever He may call us to do. Now that we've gotten a bit of a background of Jesus' life, ministry, and character, we will be diving into the story of Palm Sunday found in Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. So follow along in your Bible as I read. It says, "As they, being Jesus and his disciples, approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, 'Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" So in this passage, we see that Jesus and his disciples have just arrived at Jerusalem, and he sends two disciples to go find a particular donkey and bring it to him. And if anyone asked why they need it, they would say that the Lord needs them and that the donkey would be returned right away. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, it was a fulfillment of prophecy found in Zechariah 9 verse 9, shown in Matthew 21 verse 5. Here Jesus would be presented to the people as their king, and the people would spread their cloaks on the road and branches of palm leaves, where the name Palm Sunday comes from, on the road to honor him. They shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David, and Hosanna in the highest heaven." This time of Palm Sunday was a time of honoring the Lord, which stirred the hearts of the whole city. The dictionary even defines Hosanna as an expression of adoration, praise, or joy, used to express adoration, praise, or joy. But though these people shouted Hosanna and praise him, later we will see that they would be some of the same people who would shout, "Crucify him." A few days after Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, we find the story of the Last Supper in John chapter 13. Here Jesus has his final meal with his disciples and also washes their feet. A lot is revealed in this passage, so follow along in your Bible as we go through John chapter 13. We will not go verse by verse, but we will go through and kind of summarize some of the key verses to note in this passage. John 13 verse 1 really gives us the big picture of what is going on in this passage and also shows Jesus' character and feelings through this, knowing what was about to take place. The verse says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." We see right away here that Jesus was overcome by emotion, knowing that it was time and he would soon leave those he loved, his disciples. So in this passage, Jesus is obviously having his last meal with his disciples, and after they ate their meal, he got up, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began washing his disciples' feet. Now keep in mind this, it was a custom to wash your feet before you entered someone's house because back then they only wore sandals, and as you can imagine, after walking on dusty roads, your feet would be dirty. So when it was time for Jesus to wash Peter's feet, Peter asked him in verse 6, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Then Jesus replied in verse 7, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." But Jesus answered him, saying, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." And in verse 11 it says, For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. Here Jesus is referring to the quote-unquote, the one who was unclean, as the disciple who would later betray him, Judas Iscariot. Then in verses 13 through 17, Jesus tells them why he has washed their feet, saying, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." In the rest of this chapter, John chapter 13, Jesus predicts his betrayal and that Peter would deny him 3 times. So that is where we'll stop for this week, and it's kind of a to-be-continued story, as next week we will continue in the story of Easter, talking about what happens next, such as what happens after that Last Supper, how that leads to what we know as Good Friday, and of course, Easter. To end this week's devotional and podcast episode, here are a couple of discussion questions to answer as we reflect on the story of Palm Sunday and what it means for us today. So the first one is not really a question, but though the story of Palm Sunday and Easter is familiar to many of us, I encourage you to ask God to reveal himself to you in a new way or reveal something new to you through this passage and through these questions as well. So first up, the crowd in Jerusalem asks an important question when they see Jesus entering Jerusalem. They ask, "Who is this?" And the crowd's answer, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." What do you personally believe about Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? If you want to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, a blog post will be linked in today's show notes with the salvation prayer that you can pray today and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior of your life. Next question is, what were the different responses people had when they saw Jesus enter Jerusalem? Some of those people would be the people who followed him for the past 3 years of his ministry. Some may have known him since he was a boy, and some of those people were seeing him for the first time. Which crowd do you identify with the most, and why? So in modern day, we can picture Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem kind of like if there was a famous person in your town and there was a parade for them. People would probably be cheering, yelling, and wanting to get their autograph. So, what would your response be if you were in that crowd in Jerusalem that day, or even if Jesus walked into the room you are in right now? When the people cried out and shouted Hosanna, it wasn't just a cry of praise, but it can also be thought of as a cry for God's help. At the time, the Jews were under the Romans, much like the Israelites in the Old Testament were enslaved in Egypt. The cry of Hosanna was a cry for the Lord to save them and deliver them from the hands of the Romans. Enduring Word Commentary, which will be linked in today's show notes, even says the following. This was open messianic adoration of Jesus. They looked to Jesus for salvation. Hosanna means save now and was addressed to kings, as in 2 Samuel 14 verse 4 and 2 Kings 6 verse 26. They openly give Jesus the titles appropriate for the Messiah, such as Son of David, He who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus received and indeed encouraged this worship. Again, this was because this is the day the Lord has made, Psalm 118 verse 24, the day when the Messiah came as Savior to Jerusalem in fulfillment of David's prophecy. Hosanna transliterates the Hebrew expression that originally was a cry for help, save. In time, it became an invocation of blessing and even an acclamation. The people praise God in the highest heavens for sending the Messiah, and if Hosanna retains some of its original force, also cry to him for deliverance. So the discussion question that goes along with that is, what does your quote-unquote cry to the Lord look like today? How do you see God's hand leading you and comforting you throughout your cry and persistent prayers? And finally, the last discussion question we have for today is, how are you going to share the message of hope this Easter? Maybe it's through praying for an unsaved loved one or reaching out to someone who is hurting, inviting someone to church, or giving your time to serve. Ask God what he would have you do. So that's the end of this week's podcast episode. I pray that it encouraged you, revealed to you the true meaning behind Palm Sunday, and also I pray that the Lord spoke to you through those discussion and reflection questions. And with that, I'll talk to you next week for part two of our two-part series, The Journey to the Cross, as we talk about the true meaning behind Good Friday and Easter. Have a blessed week.